Hey, Father, thank you for another wonderful opportunity. As this year ends, I'm just thankful and I'm just gracious for this time that I can share your precious word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Christmas offers a wonderful time. It's a good opportunity to show our love and our appreciation. It's for others by giving them gifts. Yes, materialism has often caused our celebrations of Christmas to wonder whether this practice has any scriptural basis when we think about all the materialism that stores begin preparing for Christmas even before Thanksgiving. And so we sometimes think that this crowds out the real reason for Christmas. But there isn't any better time of year than to demonstrate our generosity to others. Our Lord's birth, his life, his ministry had exemplified giving. And we should also be cheerful givers. His birth was characterized by giving. Everybody who was involved in the Christmas story gave something. Let's start with Mary. Mary gave her body. In Luke chapter 1 and verse 38, it said, "And Mary said, 'Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word.' And the angel departed from her." So she gave her body. She gave herself, willingly surrendered herself to bear the Son of God. She wasn't married. She gave her reputation. Her engagement was binding as a marriage, as we shared earlier. But to be found pregnant would be proof of adultery and cause for stoning. Caesar Augustus gave a decree. This Roman emperor called for a census to accomplish his plan of taxing on all the people. Now, Caesar thought it was his idea, but God was simply using him to accomplish his much greater plan. And of course, prophecy dictated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Ephrathah. And Mary and Joseph were currently living in Nazareth. That was, of course, the reason for the census. God was doing everything in his perfect plan. And so the census would cause him to move where Jesus needed to be born. The innkeeper gave a stable because his inn was full, but he did offer his stable. And there is where our baby Jesus was born. Wow, what a birthplace. We certainly could identify with him. His humble beginning, his ordinary home life, his occupation as a carpenter, we certainly can identify with him. And that's what he wanted. The angel of the Lord gave an announcement. It was the first report of his birth, delivered by a glorious array of angelic beings, hard to even number. They were like the stars. And upon hearing that announcement, the location of the birth, the shepherds quickly hurried off to see this child in a manger with Mary and Joseph by his side. The shepherds gave testimony. After seeing the Messiah, they couldn't keep the news to themselves, and they told everyone wherever they went what they had heard and seen. There were those who just simply wondered at the news, but never made any attempt to see Jesus. The wise men gave, as you heard from our song. Possibly astrologers or philosophers. They came guided by the star from Persia. It caught their attention, and so they spent this long journey to find the King of the Jews, and they worshiped him and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And God gave his only begotten Son. The greatest gift of all came from God the Father, who gave his Son to the world to die as a sacrifice for our sins. What an awesome, awesome gift God gave us in his Son, Jesus. And then we're going to look at the life of Christ as it was characterized by much giving. In every event of his life, there was a demonstration of giving. Wherever Jesus went, he was always giving something. He gave of himself every day. I know how exhausted he was by giving. He was that tired that he slept in a boat that was rocking and water was pouring in. You know, them disciples should have thought this way. You know, if this boat sinks, you'll bring it back up. But they weren't thinking that way. They didn't realize. They really didn't realize who was in the boat. So they got him awake. He was tired from giving of himself. He was tired because he tasted of humanity for all of us. He wanted to identify with us. He knows what it's like to be tired, to sleep in a rocking boat. And they finally stirred him awake, and he just simply stood and said, "Peace, be still." What manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey his voice? He's the creator. That's who he is. Creator in the human flesh. Wow. Amazing. He gave of himself. As he started sharing the truth at a very young age of 12, he was found in the temple with the Pharisees and the Sadducees asking and answering questions when his parents were looking for him. He gave himself to study another word from the time he was a boy till he was 30 years old. He studied the scriptures, sat in the synagogues and listened. He learned from his parents so he would be equipped to begin his ministry of teaching God's word. He gave himself in healing the sick. Everywhere he went, he healed countless people, cast out demons, never too busy to stop and meet their needs. A man by the name of Bartimaeus heard that Jesus was passing by. He loudly called out to him, Mark's Gospel 10, 47 through 49. He cried out to him. He was a poor blind beggar who had no value in others' eyes. But Jesus stopped. He heard him and he healed him. No matter how unimportant you may feel, Christ always has time to listen and answer your prayers and to provide for your needs because he wants to. He said, "Put me first. Put my kingdom in me first, and all these things will be added on to you." I know you have need of these things. I know that. I will provide them for you, but put me first. And you'll be able to see how the things will be added on. It'll be just as he said. Jesus gave himself in training of the 12 disciples. He taught and ministered to the crowds, but his primary ministry was to his 12 disciples because they were going to be entrusted with that task of preaching the gospel to the whole world. And so he trained them for 3 years in Matthew 28, 19 and 20. The Holy Spirit filled them and they faithfully carried out their mission. Today, we have the same assignment, the same empowerment of the Holy Spirit to give the message of salvation to a lost and hurting world. He gave himself in friendship. Jesus was always pouring himself into the lives of others. When he came to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and he did so on many occasions, he did there to rest. He continued, though, to give himself to Mary as she sat at his feet, listening to his words. Even as he was resting, he was still sharing. He was still giving out. You see, our lives should be characterized by giving to others. A true follower of Jesus is a giver. Not just at Christmas time, but throughout the entire year. You see, generosity is a part of our identity in Christ. And it should be our nature in responding to God's blessings and certainly all his provisions and blessings. I just sat there as service was going on and looking at the lights, looking out across the congregation. Another year of blessings and provisions that he has met. On Janessa's song says he's faithful. Yes, he is. He is faithful. He's very faithful. He's very good, very faithful. Giving reminds us he is the source of everything that we have. Everything we have, we owe to him. In the New Testament church, they set an example of giving by sharing their goods and their possessions to one another in Acts chapter 4, 32. There's a lot of things we can learn about generosity. Here's just a couple. If we give generously, we will reap generously. Some time ago, somebody, I don't know how many, it was quite a few years ago, somebody asked me if they should tax on their gross or their net. Pretty simple. Do you want gross blessings or net blessings? Then I guess you know what you should do. Abraham gave tithe of all he possessed, the scripture says. He tithed of everything he owned. He tithed. And you want to know if you should tithe your net or your gross? I'll say this again. If we give generously, we will reap generously. In 2 Corinthians 9:6, the Apostle Paul reminds us that our generosity or lack of it affects our future in some way. I can tell you where it will affect you for sure. When you draw your last breath. You see, it'll determine what you're going to have in heaven, what you determine what you do with your money here. Did you hear me? If you're not a giver here, don't expect to receive much when you get on the other side. That's just how simple it is. And wouldn't you rather have something to live for eternity? Huh? Listen, I'd rather be a poor as a church mouse here, but have the riches in heaven for all eternity. Because eternity is a long time. A long time. We should give the gospel to others as much as possible. Of all the gifts that we've ever received, the gift of eternal life is far, far the most valuable. It's why we must be willing to tell others what Jesus has done in our lives. And so the Christmas season is an opportune time to share the most precious gift of all. We'll never know how our words will influence someone else unless we speak up. So what is your attitude today about giving gifts at Christmas? Have you let the world's materialism and commercialism steal your joy and your generosity? What could you offer to someone in need? What gift can you give that's actually cost-free? Salvation. You can give it to anyone and everyone. And when you get a chance or an opportunity, share it. Share it. Now we'll have our anointing service, if you'll come.